beautiful downtown Milheim. In the smack dab center of the Keystone State, this is Lou Bryson with Seen Through a Glass, the podcast that's mostly about food and drink in central Pennsylvania. Welcome to episode 35. Have beer, we'll travel. Back in the day when I was much younger, and so was craft brewing, we called it microbrewing then, you often had to travel miles and miles just to get to one brewery. I was living in Central California in 1987, which is when I really got going on beer. It started simply. I was driving to a farm market one Saturday morning, and I saw my boss's husband jogging by the roadside. I stopped to say hi, and as we often did, we got to talking about beer. Bill was British, and we very much saw eye to eye on beer. He asked me if I'd ever been to the Front Street Pub in Santa Cruz. They make their own beer there, he said. I went that night. It was about 40 miles away. It was a great drive through the artichoke fields and coastal hills. I remember it still. Front Street had three beers, blonde, amber, and porter. I went back a bunch of times, and that's all they ever had on, but I adored the place. The beers probably weren't as amazing as I remember them now, but they still seem wonderful in my memory. Well, maybe not the blonde so much, but the other two stunned me. And the brewery was right there, maybe a 7-barrel system. The Front Street Pub wasn't just the first brew pub I'd ever visited. It was also the first place I ever had squid, the first place I had shark, the first place I had linguica sausage on a pizza. It was also, literally, where I started writing about beer. I had a little pocket notebook on me, and that first night I took 5 pages of notes about the beer and the place, and about what it made me think. That was my first beer diary, and that would lead to writing emails to my friends, then writing for the beer press and newspapers, winning awards for my writing, then editing a magazine, writing 9 books, and eventually, this podcast. All from that eye-opening night at the Front Street Pub. No, it's no longer open, but I'll never forget it. Back then, though, young Lou was excited. Traveling for beer was good. I drove up to San Francisco. I visited Sierra Nevada's first brewery in Chico, and I went to my first beer festival in Calistoga in the Napa Valley. There were a whole 6 breweries in attendance, but I was in heaven. Over 35 years later, beer travel is no longer just something we beer geeks do on our own. There are organized ale trails, regional groups with maps and websites and apps, paper or electronic passports to get stamped, gear and merchandise for sale. There are tours, on foot, on buses or vans, trains, boats. There are probably beer-centered ski tours out there somewhere. Just last weekend, Kathy and I went on one of those tours, put on by Glenn Smith, who has a company named, aptly enough, Brewery Tours. It was a ride on the North Central Railway, an excursion line in southern York County. There was a brewery right across the tracks from the New Freedom Station, but the tour was beers served as we rode in the rail cars, beautifully restored first-class lounge cars from the 1940s. I'll tell you about that trip and other beer travels you can do in central PA, and we'll have an interview with Glenn about how and why and where he does tours. We'll get to all that. But first, here's what I'm drinking today. What I'm drinking today is, well, something a bit different from what you'd usually expect from me. It's Beattie's Potato Vodka. Not many people know this, but I love vodka. Not in mixed drinks or even martinis. I love to drink a lightly chilled tot of neat vodka, and I have since I was just old enough to drink. I even proposed a vodka book to my agent, but she wisely pointed out that most vodka drinkers don't really want to read about it. They just want to drink it. Fair enough. But I'm not most vodka drinkers. I love that whispery hint of flavor that a good vodka has, that slight difference between flash-hot neutrality and glad bringer of social lightning. So when the woman from Beattie's contacted me and told me the story of the family, I gave in and told her to send me the samples. What is the story? Well, the Beattie family, that's B-E-A-T-T-I-E, came to Canada from Scotland in 1876, and they grew potatoes in Ontario. The story, though, the nugget, is that they still do, but now they make them into vodka. And I am a sucker for a well-made potato vodka. Most people think almost every vodka is made from potatoes. They're not. The vast majority of vodka is made from grain. Potato vodkas are pretty rare anymore. Potatoes are actually more expensive than grain, but at least to some of us, they make a superior vodka. Well, one that's noticeably different, anyway. Let's have a sip. The first thing is always the nose, and Beatty's has that character that I love in a vodka. It's not just alcohol, it's not just heat, it's not just even the slight fruitiness you get sometimes, but there's this, and I'm going reaching back into the day here, and I don't even know if people are familiar with this smell anymore, but bond paper, when you opened a fresh box of typing paper, that kind of linen and clean note, but not nothing, not just heat. And it's got that. Let's try a sip. Sorry. Right away. This is what I really like about potato vodkas. They have a body to them. A body to them that just... it's a little slippery, it's a little slick, it's a little full. It's not gross or sweet. But you know what? It fills my mouth almost as much as a good whiskey. This is at 40% and it's not hurting me at all. This is very nice. It's smooth. You can really taste that potato character, and that. But I don't mean that it tastes like a potato. I mean it tastes like a potato vodka. I'm not sure what the price on this is. I've mislaid that information, but I would get another bottle of this. Beatty's potato vodka. Not sure if it's available in Pennsylvania, to be honest, but good stuff. And I still like vodka. All right. Now, before we do hit the road, there's a very appropriate smack dab in the center sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. Why do I say it's very appropriate? Because there's a tasting trail right here in Centre County. The Central PA Tasting Trail covers 15 breweries, distilleries, wineries, and cideries, a wide assortment of styles and flavors. It's a wide variety of settings, too. From downtown State College to the Victorian streets of Belfont, from small towns and green farmland to forested ridges. Get your Central PA Tasting Trail passport app at centralpatastingtrail.com. Or you can buy a paper passport at any of the 15 members. It's a $35 charge, but when you present it to a trail member to get it stamped, you'll get free stuff or discounts at every stop. It's an approximate $150 value. Be sure to track your progress, because if you visit all 15 places in a year, you get an additional $15 gift card. And that's all in under 2 hours of driving, so you have plenty of time to linger, especially if you start Friday evening and make a weekend of it. Check out the Central PA Tasting Trail. Maybe I'll see you in beautiful downtown Milheim. You know, the best part of beer traveling was that I met more people. And we exchanged information. We wrote postcards to each other, then emails, mostly about the new breweries and beer bars we'd found. And we'd meet up there and have beers and talk about other beers, which, honestly, I found a lot more interesting than talking about sports or politics. Back in the mid-90s, all that travel and being a full-time beer writer led to me being part of an annual beer tour in Philadelphia, the Golden Age of Philly Beer Tour. I did the commentary, the educational part of the tour. We went to breweries, we went to bars, and the guy who organized it, Rich Pollack, made sure people ate and drank water, so things stayed reasonably under control. But now there were enough places that we couldn't just go everywhere. There were actually too many to do in one day. We had to pick and choose, which would have been unthinkable in 1987. But if that was unthinkable, today's situation which we've already explored in the podcast on several occasions, where you can literally walk to six breweries in a couple hours, is something out of a dream. Of course, I've also been to Cologne, to the Kölsch breweries, where you can walk to eight breweries in under an hour, which is just insane. It all depends on how far you want to travel and how much beer experience you want to get. My friends, Dwayne Hoffman and Carolyn Blatchley, are Central PA folks. They live in Paxtang, and they travel for beer all the time. That's how I met them. They were in Philadelphia visiting breweries. Since then, I've pretty much learned that if a brewery is good and it's been open for more than 2 years, Dwayne and Carolyn have probably been there. So this morning, I asked Dwayne how many places they had been to. This was his response. Carolyn and I have been to at least 2,500 breweries. Magpie, that's their dog, just hit 257 with the addition of Iron Hill Rehoboth Beach this past weekend. She's but 3.5 years old. We're going on a 10-state trip for the solar eclipse, and we'll all get a good number more. They are really pretty amazing, and really good people, too. So let's talk about how to do beer travel. A couple notes first, and the most important one is this. Don't be stupid. Look, I know you're all pretty savvy. If you weren't, you wouldn't be listening to this. You'd be, I don't know, out slamming shots. But it needs to be said. Next, you're always safer with a designated driver, and that can work really well with a group. Just remember, the DD don't pay. It's only fair. Pace yourself. Drink plenty of water when you're touring. Rich always told folks to try to drink at least one pint of water for every pint of beer. Keeps you hydrated, and it keeps you on pace. Be sure to eat with the drinks. It slows the absorption. Finally, know your limits. As my friend M. Sauter of Pints and Panels fame says, set your limit before you start, and then stick to it. Don't let anyone, especially yourself, talk you into, well, just one more. And that applies to destinations, too. Three or four stops is plenty. There's always another day. Okay? Let's go. I've been planning brewery trips for myself for years, and I have to say the geezer thing, you kids today have it so easy. Wow, just finding the places was harder back in the day. We relied on each other for word of mouth and printed guides that were often months out of date at best. I have one of those from the 80s that covered every good beer bar and every brewery with a tour in the country. It was 36 pages. I wrote some guides myself. Quite a few of you are familiar with my Pennsylvania Breweries books, but I got out of that line when things started changing too fast for the publishing industry to keep up with. So I'd hit the road with rolls of quarters for payphones and parking meters, roadmaps, and page after page of turn-by-turn MapQuest printouts. When you did get there finally, it was probably another set of blonde, amber, and porter taps. But that didn't matter. It was the thrill of discovery. And some of them were so much better than the others. And sometimes you were the first one to find them. Today, forget all of that. Google Maps is an absolute godsend for the independent beer traveler. Interactive directions, hours, and often menus are right there on your phone, along with reviews, although they're often of questionable value. There are groups on social media that can give you good advice about where to go, several online beer guides that will do the same. If you're not familiar with Breweries of PA on Facebook and their excellent website, they're a great source of information. But when it's time to head out the door, you still have to do all the finding and figuring yourself. It's like building a table and chairs yourself from wood. If you'd rather get the IKEA flat pack and put together pieces someone else has already set up, outfits like the Central PA Tasting Trail do that for you. They go out and find the places. They keep the information up to date. And the member breweries? Well, they all want you to have a good experience. Some of the trails have passports, some are just lists, but they're all great sources of information and guaranteed fun. There will be area breweries that aren't on the trails for whatever reasons, but like I said, it's like IKEA. You can always hack the trail a little if you feel like it. As the great beer writer Michael Jackson said, beer's a playground, not a prison. Have fun with it. Here are the main beer trails in Central PA. Some of them include other drinks like wine, spirits, cider, and even some mead. They're easy to find online. I think I got all of them, but if I'm missing one, shoot me a line and let me know. As already mentioned, the Central PA Tasting Trail covers Center County. The Susquehanna Ale Trail is in York County. It's actually the beer part of the All Drinks York County Libations Trail. Similarly broad and similarly named, the Susquehanna Grains and Grapes Trail features breweries and wineries in Clinton County, so bring your winey pals. The Cumberland Valley Beer Trail covers the places I talked about in the Carlisle episode, plus all the way up towards the Susquehanna to Pizza Boy in Enola. If you've got a taste for apples, hit the Adams County Pour Tour. They cover all the drinks, and you know that's going to include cider in Adams County. I got a passport for the Lumberjack Tasting Trail in Clearfield County when I did the Clearfield and Phillipsburg episode. Need to get that thing filled in. My good friends at Trogues are on the Hershey-Harrisburg Brew Barons Beer Trail, along with brewers on both sides of the river, and all the brewery tap rooms that have sprung up in the area. Finally, one of the oldest beer trails in central PA is the River Rat Brew Trail, where the branches of the Susquehanna come together. West Branch, East Branch, Main Branch. I was actually at the launch event for this one almost 15 years ago. Now, the Lancaster County Brewers Guild Ale Trail is maybe outside the stag boundaries, but maybe not. I'm thinking about tucking Lancaster into the area since I grew up there. You can beat me to it and hit the trail now. Finally, the Bucks County Ale Trail is my old stomping grounds, where we lived for 30 years before moving to Milheim. There's plenty of good beer there, including Neshaminy Creek Brewing, just up the road from my buddy Tom Lindquist. Keep one cold for me, Tom. I'll be down sometime. If you don't have the inclination to do all that, fill out a passport application, decide what order you want to visit, drive yourself around. You know, if you want the furniture all put together and delivered to your home ready to sit in, what you want is a beer tour. That's what Glenn Smith does, and last Saturday, he had Kathy and I along on one of his tours as guests. I did say I'd tell you when I received freebies. Well, this was one. We drove down to New Freedom, PA, just north of the Maryland border. I'd been in New Freedom before, biking the Heritage Rail Trail with Kathy's brothers, but that was years before, and we'd had a hard time finding a drink back then. Things have changed. There are three breweries in town now, Gunpowder Falls, Alecraft, and Vortex. But the tour wasn't about these breweries. We were taking a railway ride on the North Central Railway, a diesel excursion line that runs from New Freedom up past Glen Rock to the Howard Tunnel, the second oldest operating railroad tunnel in the country, opened for traffic in 1838. The Heritage Rail Trail runs along the tracks through the tunnel. Along the way, we tasted 10 beers in a roughly Irish theme. It was the day before St. Patrick's. We had 10 5-ounce samples altogether, like Guinness for an Extra Stout and Murphy's Stout, an Irish Red Ale from Vortex there in New Freedom, and a Shamrock Shake Ice Cream Pale Ale from Rotunda Brewing in Anvil that looked and tasted like a mint milkshake. Dear me. The rail car was beautifully restored, with the beer being served from the original bar. There was also a barber shop in the car, complete with all the array of hair tonics and shave lotions from the era, although the idea of a straight-edge razor shave at 60 miles an hour makes me glad I have a beard. We got to hear about the history of the railroad, the Civil War importance of the Howard Tunnel, and of course, about the beer. Glenn himself talked about the beers, keeping it light and brief, but still pointing out the differences in the inside stuff. The folks serving the beers were great. Our man Carl had a waxed mustache and plenty of green to go with his happy smile. After we get back to the station in New Freedom, and people made their way off the train, happy, talking about the trip, planning brewery stops on the way home, we sat down in the lounge car with Glenn and talked to him about doing brewery tours. Here's what he had to say. Hey, I'm here with Glenn Smith of Brewery Tours, the founder of Brewery Tours. We're on a train in New Freedom, Pennsylvania. We just did did one of your beer tours on the train.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ales on the rails, sips and shenanigans.
Yes, it was. I may not be your normal host today because I partook in the sips and there may be a little shenanigans. So
we had a few.
We did have a few. They were great. So that's. I mean, let me just ask you that first. The ales on the rails, ships and shenanigans. Can you tell the listeners what that is and what we did?
Absolutely. So about 3.5 years ago, we wound up collaborating with the Northern Central Railway down in New Freedom, Pennsylvania, and we created this craft beer experience. So the craft beer experience was designed to be this themed event where we get on a train, we go for 3 hours, we sample 10 different beers, we talk about the beers, we teach about the beers, and we have a hell of a lot of fun. So this time around with Sips and Shenanigans, you know, we do Oktoberfest, we do a summer party, we do a winter event, we do a lot of different styles, and they're all curated specifically for that theme.
It was great. I mean, we had 10 beers. Not all Irish, and that one was definitely not an Irish style at all.
It was not.
No, we had an ice cream ale, mint flavored.
It was a Shamrock Shake.
It was that color.
Yes. If you like McDonald's, you probably would like
it. Oh, yeah,
that one.
It was dead on the beam. I mean, I'm going to post a picture of that on the page. So how and when did you start this?
So the tours itself started over 5 years ago. We were doing walking tours. We were doing bus tours. And then all of a sudden,
and
I wound up...
All in York County?
All in York County.
Okay.
Yeah. So we started back in it was October of 2018.
Train is moving. Sorry.
Yes. It was Ales on the Rails. So,
yeah, there we go.
So why not?
Sorry,
right?
Go ahead.
So I wound up meeting some folks at the train, and they said, hey, what do you think about doing something on the train? I go, I guess. You know, why not?
Yeah.
And it sold out.
Wow.
And we said, I guess we probably should keep doing this. So here we are 3.5 years later, you know, doing these excursions where we're doing 5 to 6 of them a year. And
wow,
it's really been a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I got to be honest, I haven't been in New Freedom in probably 10 or 11. There's 3 breweries in town now.
It's changed a bit.
Yeah, it has changed a bit. Wow. So what else? What other kind of stuff? Because you don't just do the train rides.
That's right. So when we first started off, we did walking tours.
Okay.
And we still do walking tours. You know, so we have a walking tour in York City. We have a walking tour in Lancaster City. We have a fleet of brew buses. We actually have a fleet.
Oh, really?
We got a fleet of brew buses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's these little,
I just saw the one before.
There's the little mini school buses. And people like love running around in a mini school bus. Yeah. So we're in York County. We're in Hanover, Pennsylvania. We're over in Lancaster County. We're expanding into Maryland now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then we've also expanded our Ales on the Rails program, where we're now doing a similar program with the Western Maryland Scenic Railway down in Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
Just had a conversation with another train in Virginia. So we're looking to expand that all around the country.
Yeah.
And then starting this summer, we're starting off with we're calling it Sips on the Susquehanna, where we have a riverboat cruise in Harrisburg.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes. That's great. What did you do before this?
I'm a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Still doing that?
Somehow, yes.
Damn, man. Where do you find time to breathe?
I don't.
Okay. That must save a lot of time.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. How often do you have an event?
So we run our normal, when I say normal tours, that's our walking tours, our brew buses. They run every week, 12 months out of the year.
Wow.
You know, we won't do tours like, you know, this is St. Paddy's Day. We won't run a tour on this because
okay,
the breweries are filled up.
And sure,
it doesn't create a good experience for people. But generally, we run 12 months out of the year.
You and I both have jobs that people think are perfect, but I've been involved in some beer tours. We used to do a... like a van tour of Philadelphia breweries back in the 90s. What's the flip side of the what looks like a heck of a lot of fun? There's
oh
a lot of
God.
Organizing. There's unexpected fall-throughs.
all the above. It's at times it's herding cats.
Yeah.
You know, I love my brewers. They're wonderful people. Sometimes it's really hard to nail them down on things.
Well, and it's hard to believe, but sometimes we aren't their highest priority.
No,
I don't get that.
I know.
What's the matter
exactly.
with them?
I'm bringing you people. Come
yes.
on. You know, it's, but there's an awful lot of behind the scenes work involved in curating, you know, a beer selection.
Right.
You know, cause you don't want people going on a tour and 80% of it are all IPAs or a sour or stout or what have you. You want to make it a very interesting experience. And at the same time, you want to make sure you have all of the information at your fingertips to explain and educate people about beer. So there's a lot of prep work involved.
Yeah. You briefly told me a story about a bus that wouldn't run.
Yes. Well,
yeah,
there's that
how'd
too.
How'd that go down?
Yeah. So, yeah, when things go sideways, right? You know, it snows, or you know, there's hurricane winds, or a brewery has to close unexpectedly because they had a power outage.
Oh, right.
You know, there's all these things that kind of happen. So yeah, the one I was talking to you offline was we had one of our buses. It was ungodly cold in January, and the diesel fuel gelled. So, you know, it was a late Saturday afternoon. I'm sitting at home and I get a call, and I'm like, oh dear God. You know, what do? You get in the car and you go. And we wound up getting everybody on the tour into our own personal cars and finished the tour, because you're going to finish the tour.
That's what you do, yeah.
Right. And thank God they were incredibly appreciative of the effort. Because I'm like, this is the worst possible thing that could happen.
Right. And it turned out well.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta believe that most of the people that are on this thing are relatively jovial types.
Yeah, they're usually here for a good time.
Yeah, and I mean, every now and then people are going to get too jovial. How do you handle that?
You know, that's interesting. So when we first started the tour, I was very concerned about value proposition.
Okay.
I want to make sure I give you enough for our ticket price, and I admittedly undervalued myself. You know, coming out of the gate. So the very first tour
we did. Even a lawyer does that.
Really?
Oh, I feel better.
Oh, yes.
Actually.
Yes.
I feel better now.
Good.
Yeah.
So we wound up doing four breweries on the first one. And by the time we got to the fourth brewery and we put out the first beer, people were like, yeah, you know what? I think I've had enough. Or, oh, you know, that's,
wow.
I'm good. And, you know, and the ones that didn't do that, they were pretty, to use a legal term, snookered.
you know, yes, please let's stick to technical terms.
Yes. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should keep this at three. And we've had three ever since that first tour. And it really has been kind of the perfect fit, because I can count on one finger the times where we've had something, a person
that's great.
Really go sideways, but we're all ramp certified.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And we're very conscious. I guess it's the lawyer in me.
Yeah.
You know, we're very conscious about the liability, just not for us, but for the breweries. You know, they're trusting us.
Yeah.
You know, in their space.
Yeah.
And we have to be appreciative of that.
Well, and it's part of the value proposition too. I know I don't want to be on a tour with a bunch of drunks.
Yeah. That's not what we do.
No.
Right. It's not a pub crawl. It's not one of
yes.
those drunk buses.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah.
Huh.
Do you do anything but beer?
We do cider.
Okay.
We've included cider in ours as well. One of the places that we like to use frequently is Windridge Farm.
Oh yeah,
which is a 77 acre, 100 year old farm, and they do beer, they do wine.
Beautiful
place.
Yeah, they
have wonderful things. So if a brewery does cider, we want to promote the brewery.
Okay.
So if they do it, we will include it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What's the difference between, I guess, going on one of your tours and going to a beer festival?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly a different experience, but how so?
Yeah, you're going to wind up sampling a lot of different things in both of those situations.
Okay.
But I think what the distinction is all of our tours are run by our beer guides. And they're people that are knowledgeable and experienced in the craft beer industry. They understand beer. They understand the history of beer. So, you know, at a festival, you might get 5 seconds to talk to a brewer if he or she happens to be
right.
the one pouring.
Yeah.
You know,
or it might be just some person they could grab that weekend.
Exactly. It's usually one of the distributors or something like that. You know, and in addition to that, we're going to take you behind the scenes. We're going to take you back in the brew house. We're going to show you how beer is made. A lot of our tours, the brewers are there and they participate with our tours. So you get to hang out with them and ask them questions. And one of the other things I really love to do with our tours is we include a lot of history. So if you do a tour, let's say in York City, you're going to hear about the history of York City, which really has some amazing stories, like its role in the American Revolution or the Civil War. You know, the same thing with Lancaster or Baltimore or any of those places. So we add a lot of it's just not beer.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I try to do the same thing. So, of course, I think that's great. You know, so if I'm a guy who's not a cruise guy, not a bus tour guy. Am I still going to enjoy these events?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that I think there's something for everybody on these tours. You know, whether you appreciate history, whether you appreciate craft beer, whether you appreciate art, It's not unusual for us to include architecture for York City, for example, there's a wonderful mural garden that we wind up visiting as well. So it's a lot more than just beer.
I have to admit, sitting in this is a 1941 passenger rail car. It's the club car, the lounge.
Yes.
This was an experience I've never had before. Just this.
We're riding in style.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like first class movie stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole thing, just to wrap up, what's your favorite part of doing this? What do you get out of it?
I love turning people on to something they didn't know before. And the story that I love sharing, I had a husband and wife on one of our tours, and the wife wasn't really touching anything. And I kind of leaned over and said, hey, you know, what's going on? And she goes, oh, I really don't like beer. I've always tried my husband's, and I've never found anything that I liked. So I said, well, what do you normally like to drink? And she said, I'm kind of like a Captain and Pineapple, you know, girl. And I'm like, all right, so you enjoy something that's a little fruity, something a little sweet? She said, yeah. And I walked away and I came back with a glass and I slid it over the tables. And she said, what's that? I go, just try it.
Right.
Just try
right.
it. And she, and I'll try to verbalize this since we
right,
don't
we
have
can't see
yeah,
it.
Video. She took a sip of it and she tilted her head and she stared out the window. And I didn't know if this was good or bad. I'm like, I don't know what just happened. So I go, oh, what's going on? And she goes, oh, I like this. What's this? I go, that's a beer. And she stood up.
No way.
She put her arms in the air and she said, oh my God, I like beer.
Wow.
And that is one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
Because somebody came to this not liking beer. She found something she likes. And now her and her husband can have an experience together.
Yeah.
With something they didn't have before.
She has expanded her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a Gosa.
That's great.
It was a blood orange
no
Gosa.
Way, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which I can guarantee, I'd put $100 down. She would never in her life look at a wall and go, I'll have that.
Right. So you're going to start doing these river tours. Where does this go from here?
Yeah. So our first riverboat experience is happening this summer. So
okay.
For people, depending on when you're listening to this, that's the summer of 24. So our first one is going to be with a company called the Pride of the Susquehanna, which is in Harrisburg,
mm-hmm.
off of City Island.
Okay.
And we are actively expanding our Ales on the Rails program as the train gives us a nice
again.
Lurch. And our goal is to have this across the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ambitious. That's great. Okay. Glenn, thank you so much for taking the time. Thanks for having us along today.
Loved having you guys. Thank you
Appreciate
so much.
It. Okay. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
All right. You should be ready to hit the road. We've got some beer hunting to do. Well, I haven't done any real cooking in the new kitchen yet. It's actually been pretty quiet around here. Work continues on the basement bar, but it's still in the woodwork phase, no taps yet. I have been doing some fun episodes for What's Brewing PA, and you can find those on YouTube. I also got this last-minute announcement this morning. Tickets for the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest in State College, the one that's on the field at Beaver Stadium, they go on sale March 27th at 10 a.m., on the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest website. There are general admission and VIP tickets, and tickets will be substantially more at the gate, assuming there are any left. That's March 27th, 10 a.m. Set your alarm now. And if you follow the Scene Through a Glass Facebook page, you'll know that the merch I've been talking about for, since November, it's just around the corner. I got a PDF proof back for the first batch of podcast stickers today, and they're sending 10 samples this Monday. If they look good, I'm going to pull the trigger, and then I'll send out those very stickers, the samples, to our secret photo contest winners from Christmas. And then we'll talk about serious stuff, like maybe a scene through a glass to see through, and some coasters, bottle openers, and notebooks, a leather jacket, handcrafted hand-etched crystal decanter. That's the show. Thanks to Glenn Smith for the interview and for the freebie on the train ride. It was quite an experience. As always, you can see those episode-related pictures on Instagram at Stag Podcast and on Facebook at Seen Through a Glass. If you're listening to the show on the radio at WSOV, there are over 30 more episodes to enjoy, including a Milheim episode and a Nittany Valley episode at seenthroughaglass.podbean.com. That's Podbean, PODBEAN.com. Or you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to toss a bit in my hat to keep the show going, I have a coffee button in my Instagram link tree. That's at Stag Podcast and at the Facebook page. Coffee, it's KO-FI, is an easy way to drop me a few bucks online to help keep this going. And to the folks who've done so recently, wow, thank you. In 1841, a train excursion was organized for 540 British churchgoers to attend a temperance meeting in London. The fellow who organized it made money, so he started doing other tours and wound up creating the very first travel agency, which would become the global agency of Thomas Cook & Son. All from a teetotaler train trip. The next episode is about an unlikely Central PA food celebrity that only a few people have actually met. I haven't even met him. We did the podcast's first remote interview. He pulled his car over alongside the road and dialed it in. Who is it? You'll find out in 2 weeks. Until then, thanks for listening. This is Lou Bryson on Seen Through a Glass from the smack dab center of the Keystone State.